All right, guys, welcome into the Gas House Gang. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler here, also known as Tyson and Holyfield.
Man,
wasn't that great?
I resent that comment.
Well, you could be the good guy. I'll be the ear biter. Plus, look, no, in reality, I'm the shorter guy anyway. I'm more Tyson sight. So, you know, that would actually fit the measurements a little bit. You'd have reach and height advantage, and I'm an ear biter.
You know, I covered that fight. I was at ringside.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I mean, that was the most incredible thing I've ever saw covering boxing way back when. I was sitting there like three rows from the ring. Remember that incredible first round that Hagler and Hearns had?
Oh my God! Yeah,
I sat there, and I'm gonna have to. I sat there, and I was actually you're looking up at the ring because it's suspended a little. I'm like watching this thing. I doubt if I can convey it in a way that makes sense. I'm watching this. I'm going like I couldn't believe what I was watching.
It was a great first round, man. They were not holding back.
And then Tyson biting off the ear. Yeah, that was probably number two on the list. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I figured that's a good start. Good. Because people have been playing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling better. People are playing up our little battle, which is great. You know, friends fight and we goof around and we were texting each other afterward laughing about it. It's just baseball, man. We're just talking ball.
You're a great friend, man. You know, and I was just on with Chris and Amy on Camel X and they were asking me about it, but they were having fun with it. And one thing Ronji said, which I agree with. He said, you know, I think fans in any market, St. Louis included, I think they get tired when, even though they like all of the media people for the most part, they get tired when everybody agrees about everything.
Yes.
You know,
Ronji's totally right.
It's really true. And part of it is just situations that we are all put in as individuals. I mean, I've worked with co-hosts who, if you disagreed with them on the air, I'm not talking about like calling names and being just really
right
nasty, but if you just disagreed, they just shut down. I mean, it's just like, and I was like, wow, I can't even disagree with who I'm working with. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do a talk show like that where you sit there and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the only thing, and like I said, as you know, on the Dave Glover show yesterday, the only thing that what I liked about what we did, and we did it once before. It was 100% spontaneous and genuine. Yep. I hate these hot take shows where you get the idea because it's pretty much close to this. In fact, I've read accounts of this where they meet before the show and say, well, you take this side, I'll take the other.
Right.
Well, that's not really what I really don't like that side. No. You have to take that side.
Right.
That's staged BS, man. It's fake, right?
100%.
And when you and I do that, man, it's from the heart and it's real. And then, like you said, then we laugh about it, giggle about it, and then text each other. And then from there, it's no big deal.
I think we're going to end up doing like three shows this week, too, because it's you and me Thursday. And I think Matt's off Friday, so I might pinch hit for him as well. So we'll have a good time.
Good.
Obviously, the Gas House Gang merch. We're still working on it, guys. We're trying to get it available to the public. That's a work in progress. But again, the more you like and subscribe on YouTube, the more our bosses, and I don't mean my boss, is all in, but like the bigger bosses at the corporate level, the more they're going to buy in on things like putting out merch for people to get in on. So make sure you're doing that and do the same thing for the Bernie Show on YouTube as well. Gas House Gang, by the way, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling and my buddies at Game Day Men Health. You can go to gamedaymenshealth.com and find out more. And my simple tagline for that is, look, if you don't feel the way you want to feel, don't just accept it. Go get checked out. See if there's something that can be done. And if there is, do it. That's what I did. So that's simple. All right. We got a lot to do today, man. And obviously, you know, we're talking a lot of different angles as we get deeper into spring training because, you know, we had our first, it's probably a stretch, Bernie, to call the Zach Thompson injury a significant injury, but the first one that is pretty likely to impact the major league roster, right? I mean, there was a pretty good chance that Zach Thompson was going to be on the staff in some form. And we were kicking it around via text. I think we can start off with the bullpen, just kind of jumping off the Zach Thompson injury as part of this. You know, part of the bullpen seems to be locked in. You know, I know they're stretching out Matthew Liberatore, but barring a pretty big change. I would be surprised if he's not in the bullpen as one of their big leverage guys late. So your big five are, barring injury, are set, right? You got Matthew Liberatore, you got Jojo Romero, you've got Ryan Fernandez. Obviously, you got John King, who's going to be a part of that. And who did I speak? Oh, and Ryan Helsley, your closer. Duh. Just the best one of them. So five guys that seem like, barring anything weird, they're good. And then it gets really interesting. I think there's a good group of guys there that we can kind of run through and talk about how this kind of competition plays out. So just from your view of what you've seen to this point, not just spring training, but last year and what we know about these guys, who are the guys after those five that intrigue you the most?
Yeah, first I wanted to apologize because you saw me looking away and I wasn't being rude. I was trying to get that exact text message chain we were on so I could find the list of names. Because I asked Matt Pauly, I said, you know, there's a lot of relievers down there and I'm having a hard time remembering everybody. So please help me out. Like, so he provided some clarity. Listen, I don't want to go over the whole list because I want to save some of these guys for you to discuss. Or whoever I throw out there, please add on. I would have to think, you know, Graceffo's just about a lock for the bullpen. You know, he's pitched really, really well. They love his velo in a relief role. He can sustain it that way. Wheels, I don't know how you feel about this guy too. I think I know how you feel because you and I are totally aligned on this one. They need more swing and miss stuff.
Yes.
And I think Riley O'Brien, if he's healthy, he's got to be in the bullpen, at least at the beginning, if he can stay healthy. And then I'll just go with one more guy. You know, maybe if they're ambitious and Tekoa Roby continues to do what he's doing, I think it's going to be hard to keep him off the club unless they're going to do what they've done, unfortunately, a little bit already or a lot already, where, well, it's a runway season. Oh, Roby, you were incredible in spring training. pack your bags and go. Unless they're going to do that thing again. See, I don't entirely trust them because we've been through the reset and runway thing, and it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of yak. It's a lot of words. It's not, you know. So anyway, but those are three guys that immediately come to mind. And add on what you want to say, and there are some others, but I didn't want to talk about each one because
I think Bernie, you're right, and if Riley O'Brien's healthy, I think he's a lock. I don't think there's any way they leave him off this roster if he's healthy, because they were so excited about him last year and he missed all of last season. But this is a guy that throws 98, 99 miles an hour and has a slider that can get swings and misses. I mean, like, that's the kind of guy that should be a lock if he's healthy come opening day. And I think just based on how they talk about him, I would think that if he's not hurt and if he doesn't blow up, right? I mean, if he's gone out there in the last 2 weeks and he's given up three runs every time out, well, no, he's probably not going to make the team. But I wouldn't anticipate that. After that, I agree with you that Graceffo and Roby are probably the most interesting because I think there's some upside there. I think Roby could be a closer. I love his stuff. I love his stuff. He throws hard. He'll throw harder in relief than he has as a starter. He's got a slider that works. I think that's a guy. Actually, he and Graceffo both. Those guys and Ryan Fernandez could be your candidates if you trade Ryan Helsley later in the year to step in into that role. And obviously Liberatore too, depending on how he's going. But I love the stuff of all of those guys. I almost wonder if they're going to look at it like, okay, maybe there are other guys they wanted to go first, which is what you're talking about. So like a Nick Anderson, I would have a hard time keeping him off the team if he's throwing 94, 95 miles an hour and his arm's not hurt. Because when he's been healthy in the big leagues, he's been an elite strikeout guy, like one of the best. And he's older. So if you think about it, he goes out and has a good year. He could be a trade candidate that gets you something because that's a big back end of the back of the bullpen arm for a contender. If he's out there throwing well, he could be like this is an exaggeration. He won't be what Kirby Yates was last year, but it could be something like that, where the big swing and miss for the back end of the bullpen for somebody. And after that, the guy that I'm most interested in, aside from the guys we've mentioned, is Roycroft. I'm fascinated by, you know, a 6'6", 6'7" righty that throws 96 with a pretty big sweeping breaking ball. And I think there's a lot of potential in this bullpen, Bernie, and it's not just those big five, but I really think there's a chance. Now, all of these guys will pitch this year. right? Kyle Leahy will be there. Rodri Munoz. I'm sorry. I love Rodri Munoz's arm, but I wouldn't put him on the big league team at the beginning of the year. I'd be putting him down in Memphis to work as a reliever and see if he can throw strikes, because he's got stuff. He just can't throw strikes. And we think we've seen enough of that in the major leagues to say we want to look at this in the minor leagues before we're going to commit a major league role. So here's my question to you that we can spin off of this. And that is, are you at all tying bullpen roles to rotation depth? Because a couple of the guys we both love in Roby and Graceffo could figure into that group that comes in behind the five guys they're going to start with. And of course, McGreevy's in that. He's probably number one, right? He's your sixth starter. You know, that's your sixth guy. And I think before long, Matthews will be that guy too. So those are the two best ones, I think. But do you at all worry about that? Or you just say, listen, Graceffo can get big league hitters out as a reliever right now. Let's go.
I think you have to give Graceffo a chance. I really do. He's healthy.
I'd be good with that.
He's profiling more as a reliever. They have figured out what he is. And I'm not faulting the organization for that.
No, it takes time.
Because he was kind of a tweener. You know, you weren't sure what he was going to be.
Yeah.
When he was a starting pitcher, he lost velocity. They put him in more of a relief role, and, you know, the velo's up. And it seems like he's just best suited for that. Before I go forward here, you know, I want to say something in what you said about Roycroft. I was really impressed by a lot of things Roycroft did.
Yeah.
And I always thought, in the back of my mind, like every time they sent him down, I had the feeling of like, you know what? he has shown a lot of really good stuff, but he needs work, and he's not quite ready to be a fixture in the bullpen. And I was looking this up as you were talking about him, because I just to confirm what I thought at the time. He just got killed by left-handed batters last year.
Yep, so 100%.
I don't know what he can do to kind of offset them. That's going to be something he's got to work on, obviously, right?
Yes, 100%. That's a big problem too.
You know, you mentioned Roby and Graceffo as maybe guys that could be sixth inning guys. Was that what you were talking about a little bit? You know, or come into the game in the fifth inning.
Well, I think those guys could be a lot of everything, right? They could be, if you're start, like they could be those two inning guys that a lot of teams like, right?
And I think Kyle Leahy, if I'm saying his last name right, I think he can be as well, right?
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
I thought he was a really kind of underrated guy last year. If you really look at his stuff, I don't have to tell you that.
No, you're right. And he's a guy that they're very interested in all of these guys. And that's why I would expect, just knowing the Cardinals and kind of how you laid it out, I would expect these guys to get first cracks because they're older. You know, they're 26, 27 years old, and you got to find out now. I don't want to send guys like Roby and Graceffo down. I want them there. If it was me choosing, I would choose those guys over the ones we're talking about. But I feel like they're going to go with the older guys and find out about them, and then because there's time, right? There's time. But would you agree that's kind of
that's the conservative
Cardinal way, right?
And I was kind of being an airhead there. You know, I didn't understand what you were saying, although it was perfectly understandable. Yeah. Man, so we think, you know, McGreevy, unless there's an injury, he'll be down there in Memphis and he'll be getting ready to fill the rotations up. Matthews, same thing. Okay.
Pink Hens, same thing.
Right. So, but I think you got that right in terms of like, unless they keep Roby in the bullpen, he would be a starter in development down still in Memphis.
Would you do that, or would you get him the closer at Memphis?
I wouldn't. I'd make him the closer at Memphis.
I would too. Yeah,
because I just think there's a reason he keeps breaking down, and I don't know what it is. But and I also wonder, frankly, if a relief job, if he's a really busy reliever, maybe that'll break him too. I don't know, but I think he can help you at the big league club. It's not going to be as a starter this year.
No,
or at least not early this year. It's just not going to be. So I would put him in the bullpen and get him ready for that.
Agreed. Part of the problem too is he's had a hard time throwing enough strikes as a starter. It's not crazy. Like it's not super out of whack, but you know, it's more of a bullpen kind of number. Like if you're looking at it, like a guy that walks four batters per nine, that's pretty high, but that's still only one guy every two or three innings. For a reliever, that's one walk every two or three games. And for a starter, that's just too many, right? Because you're piling them up together. So I think there's a good argument for that. I think you're right.
And Graceffo, I could go either way, but I, You know, you look at his stuff in spring training, and we all have that rule, you know, be careful at spring training stats. But again, right. I've always said when a guy's trying to make a club, young guy trying to make a club, I do want to sit, look at his stats because that's the whole point. He's competing. So he's showing you, like, if he is in a competitive spot and trying to make the club, is you're in a competitive spot. Maybe not in the ball game you're in because it's an exhibition game. But you're going to bring your best stuff forward to show the bosses. So, and he's looked great. I mean, what, like 5 strikeouts and how many innings? Couple of, yeah, I mean, really good. So that tempts me. But the one thing you said I thought was really, really good and spot on, if Nick Anderson, unless he's throwing like 89 in you know, spring training,
right.
if Nick Anderson's got some of that, got a lot of that pop back, absolutely he'll be in the major league bullpen. And you made a great point because he is a guy you can flip at the bullpen or at the deadline if he has a good year in the St. Louis bullpen. That was like a really good pickup.
I loved it.
Yeah. Really good minor league signing because he could rebound for you in a way that helps you this season. And if nothing else, you flip him. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler. Obviously, we're brought to you by Game Day Men's Health and Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, tell us about your friends.
Love Saliga Heating and Cooling. You know, we've been a Saliga family for 16 years, and they've taken great care of us. I mean, the number one thing is this independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. You know, the honesty, the credibility, you know, the trustworthiness, I mean, the highest marks possible. They're prompt, their attention to detail. They'll look to save you money. You can count on them. They're professional when they come into your home. They're classy, all that good stuff. So you just ask yourself a question. If one family has been running this business since 1927 and they're still growing strong, what does that tell you about how great they are, right? That doesn't happen unless you're great, you know, or you would sell it to someone else and then they would sell it to somebody. No, Saliga Heating and Cooling is a proud family business and they work hard because their name is on the side of those vans that come to your house. So take a look at the Priority Club. That's what I'll tell you. Just look it up. This will work for you. It's a maintenance program. It's great. We're in it. So go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. The phone number is right there on your screen. It's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com.
All right, Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you here, continuing the Gas House Gang. Let's stick with pitching for another few minutes, and we'll talk more about Albert Pujols, because we only had a few minutes for that yesterday, and I think it deserves a little bit more time than the time that we had available at the end of the show yesterday. So on the pitching side, you know, one of the things we're going to be tracking is how does the development of Cardinals pitching change as the season goes along, right? I mean, are we going to be, first of all, I'll be interested by the draft. Do we start to draft a little differently? Because if you look at the guys in the system, Byrne, a lot of guys, maybe outside of Tink Hentz, are the college guys that are kind of workhorses, strike throwers, not big velo guys. You know, they really haven't targeted that, but there are some players in the system. And I think you might have mentioned this guy a couple weeks ago, but he's older for where he's been. I'm interested in Chenwei Lin, who, you know, was at A ball last year, low A, even though he was 22, but he's acclimating to the United States. He's from Taiwan, but he's 6'7". He throws mid 90s. You know, he's one of those guys that could be a real fun, interesting dude. And, you know, beyond that, there just aren't a lot of guys other than Matthews, who has now added some velo and sure looks more like a swing and miss guy than he did when they drafted him. Right. There really isn't a ton of that there. Do you think we'll notice the change this year, or is this a change you think takes longer?
My gut reaction, because I haven't, you know, in all honesty, I haven't thought about this very much. But I think, just personally, my initial reaction is that I think we'll start to see some results in 2026, or more results in 2026. Because this Matt Pierpont, who they have as their coordinator, if that's the term, pitching coordinator, whatever his title is, plus that they brought in other guys on that end too, I think they're going to do a lot to help individual pitchers maximize what they have in terms of swing and miss. Or maybe if it's a situation where, okay, Chris Roycroft throws 95, he just gets beat up by left-handed batters. All right, what do we do? See, if you the guys that come from that Tampa Bay and Cleveland system, and they're all over the place with the Cardinals, they know how to make pitchers better. even if a guy's not a high velo guy. They know how to make them better.
Right.
They know how to offset. If there's a platoon split disadvantage, they know how to come up with a pitch or change the shape of a pitch that's going to make a Chris Rycroft way more competitive against left-handed batters. He's a great example of what we're talking about. So I think those changes will be happening gradually this year during the course of the season. But the other thing was, we don't know what they actually have installed in terms of technology.
Right.
Do they have every tool yet installed? I don't know. But I do know, as if they don't, as the season's going along, they'll have all this stuff in place. And so I think we're going to see individual improvement pitcher to pitcher to pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as like a philosophical change, that depends, you know, first of all, will Randy Flores be doing the drafting? I don't know that. I got nothing against him. I'm just saying, I don't know.
No, he's done a nice job. I don't think there's any real complaint. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've added better pitching the last few drafts. They have, you know, with Henson, McGreevy and Matthews and maybe Graceffo. And there's some other ones that you mentioned. That's kind of how I see it. But I want to go back to that one stat that I think I mentioned on the Gas House Gang late last week, because I did a video on it. From the 2015 draft through 2021, they drafted 136 pitchers.
Yeah.
And only 11 actually worked in a major league game for the Cardinals. And the guys who were drafted as starters, they're all gone except for Pallante. And he's finally going to be a starter. And then Graceffo is still there, but he projects, I think, more as a reliever. And all the other guys are washouts. They're not even here. I mean, and you know, people, and you wonder why John Mozeliak had to rush out and buy three free agent veteran starting pitchers last offseason, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And by the way, I want to recommend, read this, Wheels, if you haven't. Ben Clemens, a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah, Ben's great.
A Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
Based in San Francisco. Great, great writer for Fangraphs. He has a thing about the Cardinals today that's really good. I actually added something to the comments because I wanted to share. No, about what we talked about. The poor drafts from 2015 through 21, as far as giving the Cardinals sure thing starting pitchers in their rotation. Just almost a virtual flame out, all those guys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, combining that with these questions we have about being behind on player development, which has been the big thing, right? Because I think the draft has been less an issue than player development. Because a lot of these guys, are you taking guys and making them better or making them the best versions of themselves? And if you're, you know, as an example, if you're taking guys that are big, hard throwers, you got a lot more wiggle room. If you're taking guys that are 91, 92, and they've got to have command, and that doesn't work out, and you're not adding velo for them, well, now you're really cutting it down. And I mean, we've talked about this before, and it perfectly circles together with what you're talking about. Bernie, the last Cardinals homegrown starting pitcher to have any impact, like real impact on the team for any period of time, was Jack Flaherty.
Right, no doubt.
And Jack Flaherty just went through free agency. So that's 6-7 years. Between a starter, and before that, it was Flaherty, and it was Waka, and it was Carlos Martinez, and Lance Lynn, and Jaime Garcia, and Shelby Miller. It was nonstop for a decade.
Yeah, and Marco Gonzalez.
Who
became a really good major league pitcher, and I don't fault them for the trade that they made.
No, it was for Tyler O'Neill.
Flip in for Tyler O'Neill. You had to take a chance on someone like O'Neill, because at that point, they were really low on
power. Thin on power, yep.
So, no, that's the point, and man, I know I come across here too many times as, you know, dogging the fans, and it makes me feel bad because I think the Cardinals fans are by and large, you know, pretty sharp and intelligent. I think I pay too much attention to the kind of the fringy fans who are just extreme about everything. Hey, they have a right to be. I shouldn't acknowledge it as much as I do, but that's a weakness on my end. But I have to say, you know, in all the traffic I get coming my way, you know, comment sections and whatnot, it astounds me that more people don't understand the importance of this project that's going on down in the minor leagues. You know, it's almost like depressing because
It's critical, man.
This is such an obvious, way overdue thing. That used to be their team. That used to be their organizational strength.
Yep.
And Bill DeWitt was the guy behind it because he brought in Jeff Luno, who brought in about 10 analysts, 7 or 8 of whom were like the best in the majors. And a lot of those guys ended up running other teams. So they were doing everything right for a long time. Scouting, draft, development, all of these really smart guys, forward thinking, forward vision. The Cardinals had such an advantage on the rest of the industry. And, you know, Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak, for whatever reason, they kind of let that thing deteriorate. And I think they thought, well, we're the Cardinals, our models always work, but their model became outdated and they were just so slow to react. They have finally reacted. But I had somebody tell me, it's like, well, yeah, you're praising them now, but it never should have gotten like this. Well, We were all yelling about it, man. we kind of know that, Branch Rickey, but thank you. You know,
we were all yelling about that too. By the way, I've heard you for years talk about it. I've been talking about it for years.
Derek Gould has.
Derek's been writing about it forever. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it was being ignored.
No, so it's about dang time. But I'm excited by what it's going to produce. And if somebody would think, well, you're trying to be Mr. Optimist. No, I'm not. These are smart people hiring other smart people, hiring instructors and coaches, and getting the Cardinals up to speed with technology and all kinds of ways to make your players better, your pitchers better.
Yeah.
I mean, they have catching instructor now. Oh my goodness. They got an outfield instructor now. Oh my goodness. You know,
about time.
Right. You know, and it's like, you know, you wonder why Walker can't play right field. You wonder why Victor Scott's was taking wrong angles on balls in the air.
False
well,
step. Yep.
When you don't have an outfield instructor that you know down there all the time, yeah, that's you're seeing the repercussions of that.
Absolutely.
So I just wish more people. I know they're mad. Listen, I know Cardinals fans are either disappointed or just really fed up with the way the organization has just kind of deteriorated. I get that.
Yeah.
Frustration is well founded. It's totally justified. But don't dismiss what's happening below the major league level, because it's really, really essential to their future. And I'm so glad they finally got around to it. And you know what, Wheels, and I'll shut up after this. And it wasn't just that they got around to it, because look, Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak could have put some band-aids on it and they put out a press release. Oh, we did this. We brought this guy in. Yeah. We bought this machine. And it's like, oh, okay, they're working on it. No, it isn't that they're working on it. It's the people they have hired to oversee it and the backgrounds that those
where
people
they come
have.
From. Yes.
Incredibly successful people in this particular area. Right. And they're smart people hiring other smart people who then hire other smart people. And frankly, I think the Cardinals could use smart people. Anyway,
it's the Gas House Gang. No, you nailed it. It's the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler. I'm going to throw this out there. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you can throw us your comments on this, because I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of them. I find it fascinating, because we briefly talked about this yesterday, but you know, we saw the reports over the weekend that Albert Pujols said out loud to reporters in Angels camp that he is absolutely interested in managing a major league team. He said if a call were to come this year or next year, he's open to it. He's interested in it. He's going to be managing the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic, and he's obviously had some experience down there too in the Dominican Winter League, in the Caribbean Series, and he's had success. I mean, he's really done a nice job. This is such a touchy thing, I think.
It is.
For the Cardinals, not for us, but for the team, because it's, you know, I think Ollie Marmol has his flaws, but I think he's okay. I think he's, you know, he's what a young manager is going to be when you got an organization that's not supporting him well enough. You're not supporting him enough with young talent. You're not spending on enough impact talent at the major league level, because you can't afford those guys, because you're spending $10 million on 5 different old guys. Like, I think I don't, again, I, you know, you and I, we don't understand some of the things he does. I don't understand why he wants Mason Wynn batting leadoff. It doesn't make any sense. We don't understand the man crush on Mike Cianni. We see his flaws, but I also think he does some things well. And now with Albert being out there, he's almost in a no win. And I don't feel bad for anybody that has a major league job, because you're an elite of an elite. You got a high paid job and pressure comes along with it. That's all fine. But this is an interesting spot for the Cardinals to me, and especially for Chaim Bloom, who doesn't have the connection to Albert that John Mozeliak has, although Bill DeWitt Jr. does, and he's still the boss. How do you see this playing? Like, let's say it's nothing in season's happening for Albert. Let's talk next year. What has to happen for Albert to just not even be a consideration?
Boy, because I've thought about this a lot. Listen, if Marmol gets the Cardinals into the playoffs and they win a round or something, I think it'd be tough for them to make the change.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though, and it's nothing personal. And I, you know, one thing about our jobs that I don't think I've ever talked about enough, you know, you can like someone personally and still write the truth.
Yeah.
Even the hard truths about what they do. I like Ollie personally. It has no influence whatsoever on what I write and say about
him. Right, same.
I play that straight.
Yep.
I think a lot of the criticism he gets is simply because he's viewed as John Mozeliak's guy, and we know Mo is extremely unpopular. And he's made some bad mistakes, two really bad mistakes. Yep. Listening to veteran pitchers when they went to backstab Wilson Contreras, Ollie capitulated on that. I thought it was disgraceful. I ripped him for it.
Yep.
The way he handled game one of the Philadelphia series. I mean, those are just two examples. The Tyler O'Neill thing could have been done better. He had veterans who were terrible leaders telling him that he had to do that.
Right.
He had to embarrass O'Neill because they wouldn't take care of it themselves.
Right.
Tony La Russa always had guy. He thought it's best when his players, his veteran players, police the clubhouse, because everybody gets tired of the manager always in their face.
Yep.
The veterans got to take charge. So the Cardinals culture, I don't think has been great. And so I'm getting a little off track, but my point is, you know, short of some unforeseen season that is just fantastic, right? And I'm not talking about, oh, they won 83 last year. Oh, they won 84 this year. Wow. You know, no, it's got to be something pretty dramatic for them to even just dismiss the idea of calling Albert Pujols. And my whole thing is, too, it's awkward because they have a manager, and they have a manager under contract through 2026.
That's right.
And they have Chaim Bloom coming in, and he may have his own ideas about who to hire.
That's right.
He comes from the Tampa Bay tree, where they always hired first-time managers. And a lot of teams are hiring first-time managers. That's another thing I laugh about locally. It's like people act like, you know, all like Terry Francona is managing 20 teams or something. I looked it up today. You know, the managers that will open the season this year, the 30, 24 of them, when they entered their current job, were first-time managers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Including all of the top ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave Roberts Aaron Boone and Kevin Cash and all those guys. Yeah.
So anyway, it Ollie's got experience now, but that's not really a factor, because if you're going to change him out for anybody else, I mean, I don't know what Chaim Bloom wants to hire. If he has a profile, a type in mind, someone he knows from his past, right? And so we're sort of operating in the dark here. But I have to be a grown-up. I have to be an adult about this for us in the media. And you're obviously not doing it because you brought it up.
Yeah.
For us in the media to like, we know it's out there, but it's like, oh, we better not talk about it. I mean, come
you
on.
You have to.
If Albert Pujols, in my opinion, can be a very special manager, and I have a lot of reasons for that. I'd be happy to talk about him at another time, because I don't want to take up all the time. Great leadership skills. One thing I want to point out to people, and I forgot to mention in the video I did on this yesterday, Albert Pujols, as a young guy, from rookie, the whole time he was in St. Louis, 11 seasons, he was in Tony La Russa's office all the time. He went to class every day, and his professor was Tony La Russa. He would go in, and he would ask him, you know, Tony, why did you bring in that reliever? You know, what, like, why I was thinking you'd bring in that reliever. you know, this other guy? Like what? Like tell me you're thinking there. And Tony would talk him through it. All these decisions in games, he would ask him about how you set a lineup, how you handle your pitching, what's the best way to run a bullpen, what do you put into that in your thinking, what's your philosophy, how do you communicate to the players as a manager, not as another player, like if you have a problem player, how have you dealt with that in the past? Every single day of the season, just about, he is in La Russa's office to have a classroom session. So that's why I absolutely laugh at all these people. And there's a lot of them. Well, I love Albert, but boy, they've got to hire an experienced manager.
There you go. There's one right there, Byrne.
I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say.
The verdict is in on this, man. The experience thing is not that big of a deal in modern baseball. It's just not.
First-time managers have had a lot of success.
Alex Cora. I mean, come on.
Steven Vogt.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig Counsell, before the Brewers hired him, he had never coached or managed a day in the minor leagues.
Nope.
He had not coached or managed in the minor leagues.
Nope.
I don't know. I think
that went okay, didn't it?
Worked out all right, right? I think that's okay. And there's a long list of first. Like, I think Dave Roberts has done okay. I could be wrong. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot. Right now, 24 of the guys that are in their positions going into 2025, 24 of the 30 are first-time managers with that club, like with a club hire. I don't know. You know, the thing about it is the people that say that, I don't think they've paid attention to the way baseball has changed.
No.
They just haven't.
Yeah.
You know, they just haven't.
Got to keep up, man.
Which I had a guy, and it's a guy I like, so I'm not going to dog him out too much. But, you know, a while back he said, look, if they ever decide to make a change anytime soon, right, you can't hire another young manager. And so, well, actually you can, but what's your point? And he said, well, you got to go out and get Joe Girardi's out there. Buck Showalter's out there.
Yeah, and there's a reason they're still out there, by the way.
You mean to tell me like you would not take a chance you take a chance with any manager you hire unless it's Terry Francona. You think you wouldn't take a chance? It's not smarter to take a chance on Albert Pujols, who has phenomenal potential to be a great manager, is recycling some old dude? And somebody said, well, what about Bruce Bochy? They recycled him. No, they really didn't. He needed a break. And the guy that hired him actually hired him, and Bruce Bochy's bought into analytics. So he's an old dude who thinks like a young dude. So he doesn't even count in the discussion. Terry Francona, who's a great, great Hall of Fame manager. Terry Francona, all in on analytics. But, you know, it's like if you even mention analytics in our town, I'm afraid, I joked about this before, I'm going to get arrested because people hate it so much. But the very managers that they lionize, oh, I wish the Cardinals could get that guy. I wish and all of them are into analytics, and all of them go over the lineups and everything else with their front office on a daily basis. All right, finally, I'm a rambler, man. Finally on this. the bottom line is this. If Albert Pujols wants your job, I think there's something totally unforeseen. I think if he wants your job, you have to give him the job. Think about what it'll do for your business. Thinking about what it'll do for your popularity. And it is a business. But think about what he'll do for your team. He'll set a whole new culture. He'll be a great leader. Young players revere him.
Oh, my God,
Veteran players know better than to try to, you know, kind of con him or whatever. Think about the culture he'll put in. And think about he will return some of the lost prestige in Cardinals baseball by coming back. And I think he's going to be a phenomenal manager. I think you got to give him the job, barring some incredible run this year by the 2025 Cardinals. I took up way too much time, man. Sorry.
It's okay. I would co-sign on everything you said. I completely agree. If he wants it, barring something crazy and amazing this year, it's nothing against the current manager. It's just it's such a no-brainer from all levels: business, competitiveness, reputation. Fan base excitement, the whole deal. I think you're totally right. All right, the Gas House Gang here, Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you. About to wrap it up, Bernie. Before we wrap it up, tell us about Saliga.
Absolutely. First of all, Saliga Heating and Cooling has been around since 1927. It's an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Dance League is running it. Fourth generation owner operator doing a great job. They can do all the work you can imagine that they would do, heating and cooling, but other things. Go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Also, become a member of the Priority Club. We are, as Saliga customers for 16 years, Priority Club will save you money. It's a maintenance program well worth every nickel you spend. Safety, peace of mind, and it'll extend the life of your equipment. So financing options are available, subject to credit approval. Go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. You can see the phone number right there on your screen.
All right, so Bernie, we got about a minute left.
One other thing. I sent this text to you. So to all the people out there, well, you know, you got to hire an experienced manager. 8 of the 11 World Series won by the Cardinals, 8 of the 11 were won by first-time managers that they hired. They gave a managing job to. The guy's first managing job, he was a Cardinals hire. 8 of the 11. Huh. But no. Oh, my God. The last thing you can do is hire a first-time manager. They've only won 8 World Series with those guys.
Yeah. And the topper that I would put on this, and this is the part, I think, where it's on fans to keep up with changes in the game better instead of just relying on how you remember things being. Right. The manager used to be the person solely in charge of developing the strategies, the game day preparations, the lineups, the pitching matchups. They would be the ones, by the way, that would determine player development and how you would target players. That used to all be the manager, and it's not. It is not anymore. There are 30 people doing those things now. The manager's job is really mostly, Bernie, to run the clubhouse and keep everybody where they need to be. Make sure the bench guys know their roles and get them enough work to stay sharp. Make sure your stars know who they are. Make sure the clubhouse is running smooth and be a communicator. That's the major league manager's job in 2024. Well, they are
You got to utilize your personnel to the max probability too. You don't have a guy with a 292 on base percentage as a leadoff man.
No.
Being in the leadoff hole for 600 plate appearances. It makes no sense. I wonder what the hell Time Bloom thinks about that, by the way. Go ahead, Wheels.
Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll find out. All right, we'll talk more about that. Bernie, I think you and I will be back both Thursday and Friday because Tom and Matt got a lot of other responsibilities, and Matt's traveling back to St. Louis later this week. Tom is going down to Florida this weekend. I think tomorrow, I can't remember who's doing tomorrow. I think either Matt or Tom are jumping on. I can't remember, but either way, you and I on Thursday and Friday, so it's been fun today. Yep. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you, man. This has been the Gas House Gang.